Church again. Hey, just is that working?
Yeah.
Brief announcement before I get started. Giving statements, I have them today. I didn't get around to hardly anybody before church, but if you'll see me after church, I'll give those to you. Your taxes can be done. All right, title of the message today, Rethink. Sorry, kids are going. Good luck with that crew. Oh, and you're going up too?
Right on.
Title today is Rethink Your Story. And you know, so many times we get caught up in what we want and what we think we need. Today, I hope to take you through some words of the Lord so that you can see that even in Jesus' time, that story was for previous people, for current people, and for future people. So as we head in, I'm going to start in prayer and then we'll dig in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and I ask you to just shut me down, Lord. Take me out of the equation and let me be your mouthpiece and let me say what you want me to say today, Lord. And as you guide, let us have ears to listen. In your name we pray. Amen. So all of the scripture from Old Testament to New Testament is a story. It's a story. And it's funny how the centerpiece of the story doesn't come until halfway through the Bible. Now, I want you to think of your life for a minute, and I'll just give you a brief synopsis of mine. So at 18 years old, at 15 years old, I was baptized, and I tried to do the right thing. But at 18 years old, I went to a church, a small church, and I was voted on the board of trustees at 18. And I had no business being there. I didn't know the first thing about operating a church. I had just graduated from high school. But, you know, my grandfather was on the board of trustees. My father was on the board of trustees. Therefore, when I became of age, I was on the board of trustees. And it was a strange, strange situation for me right out of high school before I even went to college. And but it helped to guide where I am today. And, you know, I've shared before, I went to college to be a teacher. And that's all I wanted to do. And I think I've shared in my mind when I was 17 and in high school, I wanted to just go be a gym teacher. Pretty simple. Man, I'd enjoyed college learning how to teach gym. So at my graduation party, my uncle, who was a school teacher in Kilbuck, he said, "What are you going to do with yourself, Matt?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to go into education and I'm going to be a gym teacher." And he looked at me like I had a third eye. "Do not go into phys ed." I said, "Why? That's what I like. You know, that's what I like." He said, "How are you in mathematics? How are you in computers?" I said, "I hate computers." I said, "Math is okay." He said, "Go into mathematics. They're going to need mathematics forever." He said, "There's only one gym teacher in each district in Ohio. There's five or six math teachers." So, you know, I contemplated that for a while, and I went to college, and I decided I was going to do secondary education math. And I took an entrance exam, and me not knowing what I know now, and if you're a teenager, just shut your ears for a minute. If you're getting ready to take college entrance exam, shut your ears for a minute. But I said, "Man, I got to do as well as I can on this entrance exam." So I went, and I did really well on the entrance exam. Guess what that meant? Yeah, I got a few $100 more in scholarship money, but it meant for me to go into my secondary education math, instead of starting in algebra, I got to start in calculus too, and I had never had pre-calculus. So you tell me how that went. Not very well. I can tell you how it went. Not very well. I end up transferring. I end up graduating with an associate's degree, which means virtually nothing other than I have proof that I did go to college. I wasn't going to graduate. I was going to stay in education. I went into management with Super Kmart in the grocery business. And at the time, a starting teacher salary was about $21,000 a year. My first management job at Super Kmart, I made $36,000 a year. Chris and I got married, so it was kind of a no-brainer. I'm done with school. I graduate with an associate's degree. Kmart doesn't care. Long story short, I managed some grocery stores. Then I got my job at Coca-Cola. Still really using that degree, but you know, the mathematics still I'm able to apply. Not calculus. I still don't know what I would have done with that. Because, man, I'm looking at Jackson Winger and Bo and the Hoover girls, and they're in my calculus class, and they're already smarter than me, so I'm not teaching them a thing. So it's funny how God rewrites your story. And what happened was, since I'm not in education, I'm able to be out in the public. And that's my worst fear. Because my worst fear has always been sharing my faith in public. And now I've got 95 accounts that I call on every week or every other week. And man, I'm put in some situations where I have to share. And 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. 10 years ago, I would not be standing up here. I'd be in the back row, wanting to not be noticed. But God laid something on my heart, and I don't know whether when I was 18 and a trustee of the church, or whether it was 10 years ago, God said, "Matt, you can do this." And I started doing devotions at church, and I never thought I'd be here. But He's led it here, and I'm able to do that because I have the job I have. So my story was rewritten. Because I'm not smart enough to pass calculus 10. Okay? We're going to be in Mark today a lot. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And we could read from anywhere in the Bible today, and what I want you to think about while we're reading this is think back into the Old Testament with Adam and Eve. You know, they thought their story was written. They were the only people on earth. They were going to populate the earth. And what happened? They ate from the tree, and they committed the first sin, and they gave in to God or the devil's temptation. Okay? But the story didn't end there. It got rewritten. And we learn later in the Gospels that Jesus was sent to take care of Adam and Eve's sin. You know, think about Moses. We know Moses led about 4 million people out of slavery. And he led them on a journey. You know what Moses did before that? Killed a guy. He was born an Israelite. Was adopted basically by the Egyptian rulers, raised Egyptian. He had power, he had money, he had standing. And he turned his back on all that to follow the Lord's will. His story was rewritten. Daniel. That dude was thrown into a den of lions. His story was rewritten. David. We all know David, right? We call David a man after God's own heart. Guess what David did? Numerous times he failed. Okay? killed a guy, had a guy killed, committed adultery. I mean, the list goes on with him. But you know, he's one of the greatest kings that ever lived. Because his story was rewritten. So let's go to Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send you my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the paths for him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What do we know about John the Baptist? I have a vision of John the Baptist. He was a barbarian. He dressed in camel clothes. He probably was unshaven. He was an unfit mess. But you know what he did do? He went out and preached the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a normal dude. And I don't know how many people John baptized, but his name is John the Baptist, so I'm assuming it was a lot. Okay? We know one person he did baptize. Let's go to 14 and 15, and still in chapter 1. During this whole time, John was taken custody. He was put in prison. In verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Guys, this is right out of his mouth. It is that simple. Our plan to salvation is that simple. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus is coming again. I don't know why I always point to that door when I say it, and I always look that way. I don't know. But Jesus is coming again. How do we get to that salvation? In Jesus' words, right here, repent and believe the good news. If it's that simple, why isn't everybody going to heaven? Because they don't believe. What does it mean to repent? I'm not going to give you some professional definition. I'm going to give you Matt's version. Repent means I turn my back on everything I've done and I go another direction. And the direction we should go when we repent is to follow our Lord and Savior at the cross. Luke 19. So we're going to go over one book. We're going to go to Luke 19. This is the main passage I want to use today. And there's a bunch of footnotes from Mark. I mean, Matthew 4:3, Malachi 3:1, Matthew 11:10, Luke 7:27. And what are all those? Those are all repetitive of what took place in Mark. Those are all premonitions of the coming of the Christ. Guys, I'm here to tell you, the second coming of the Christ is coming. And are we ready? Luke 19, 28 through 40. It says, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead and going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why, you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. There's a couple things I want you to understand. These disciples, they were just normal dudes. Okay? There was no formal schooling. There was no, man, these guys were in great standing. They were normal dudes. They were fishermen. They were tax guys. They were just normal dudes. You know what they had? They repented and they followed him. Because when Jesus said, throw down your nets and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what they did. They left. They done. How many times in our life has Jesus said, hey, I want you to do this? And we say, ah, not so fast, Lord. That 2x4 hits me, and he says, hey, dummy, do what I say, okay? And don't get me started on a colt that's never been ridden. We all know the donkey story. I'm not going to go into it today. But those disciples, go get a donkey that's never been ridden. It's tied up. He told them right where it was tied. His plan for our life is perfect. He worked out all these details before he arrived. He can take care of what you need. And I don't know, in that day, I don't know what the punishment was for stealing a donkey. But, these guys were walking in broad daylight and untying a donkey that was tied to a post. I'm sure it had an owner, right? I mean, somebody comes to try to steal my donkey now, I'm going to let them have it. I'm not a fan of donkeys. But I've learned a lot from donkeys. But if they come to steal this donkey, you think it's going unnoticed? No, and that's why Jesus gives them the answer. He says, if they ask you why you're untying it, saying the Lord needs it. That's all they need to know. It's all we need to know. Verse 32, those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. There was no other conversation there. The owner didn't say, oh, no. There was no other conversation. Because then we go to verse 35. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Yet so many times today, we don't just let him have it. Guys, our challenge is we got to rethink our mentality. And when we repent, we've got to rewrite our story. By giving it to him. I'm curious when he rides back in on a donkey if the donkey owner isn't the first one in town. Those are the things I think about. Let's read on. They put Jesus on top of it. As he went along, verse 36, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Don't forget, these guys were following Jesus around and he had healed people who had never walked before, people who had never seen before, a woman that bled for 12 years. Okay? They had seen all of this, and they were ready to anoint him as king. In this time, they were thinking he was going to be king, and it was going to be overtaking the government, is what the people thought. They were being sent a king that was going to rule their world right then and there. we know a little differently. Verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39. I love these guys. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why? Why is that statement even in there? That didn't have to be in there. We didn't know about the owner of the colt, whether he was there, whether he wasn't there. He didn't throw a fit. Why does that statement about the Pharisees have to be in there? It's because, guess what? Jesus faced trials too. He went through circumstances in his life that shouldn't have been there. These morons should not have been there. If they were against him, why were they there? It was because Jesus wanted us to know today, 2,000 years later, that there are going to come trials in your life. Let's see his response. Verse 40. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Think about our world today. I think as a corporate church, we kind of hide in the shadows sometimes. We aren't always rejoicing, but you know what? There are people out there rejoicing. The stones will cry out. That's an amazing statement. Maybe one of my favorite statements in the world. Why? Because there's times when I have to look hard at that because I don't want somebody else telling the story of my Lord and Savior. So I have to be bold and I have to cry out. But understand, the message is going to come out. We need to get on board and be a part of spreading that message. Rewrite our story. As we head to ball games, we're boisterous. I've seen it. I work concession stands Friday. Man, it was a good game from what I saw. I caught the very end. The girls end up getting beaten over, double overtime. But man, what a game. What a game. Man, if you're from Fredericktown, I apologize. Man, what a bunch of doofuses over there. These guys cried about, sorry, my wife's from Fredericktown. Skylar graduated from Fredericktown. Hey, whatever. But these guys, they were crying about everything. Girls took 3 steps, and they had a guy that was coming down onto the floor yelling at the officials. I mean, this girl clearly traveled. And they were upset. Now, I have a saying that says, ball don't lie. We got the ball right there. What we do? We dribbled, double dribble. They got the ball back. They threw it out of bounds. So we got the ball back and we scored. The ball don't lie. Jesus does not lie. Then I watched the boys' game last night. And, our boys' team's pretty good. I think we got 1 league loss, we're in first place. And kudos to them. You know, we have 4 players that play on our boys' team. We have 3 or 4 girls, 2 that attend here. We have 4 boys that play on our boys' team. They're pretty good. But they were in a dogfight for a while last night because, man, we couldn't throw it in the ocean. First quarter, I was pretty sure the Bulldogs were going to win. Then we started hitting some shots. Pretty soon we're up by 25 at one point. And I was like, okay, this is over. I was going to turn it off. Chris was like, oh, just watch the rest of it. Okay. So we did. The boys ended up winning by 20. But you weren't totally satisfied with how the game went because you thought it was a lot closer than 20, the way I viewed it. But that's the way our Christianity is too. Sometimes we're just hammering away, and we feel like we're getting nowhere. But what do we got to do? We got to keep playing the way we play in Christianity and keep toeing the line and every day get out of bed and worship our Lord and Savior and head out and about our day with Him at the center. Even though sometimes we get beat down, sometimes we can't throw it in the ocean, sometimes we don't have the words to say, sometimes we're just not very good people. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It happens to me a lot. Because, man, doubt creeps in. No, I'm not good enough to do that, God. No, I can't say that, God. Rewrite your story. Trust the guy that hung on the cross for you. Trust the guy that had the plan. Even when Moses was delivering people out of Egypt and they were making tons of mistakes and it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Think about that. These guys are just delivered from 400 years of slavery. And they go out and the path gets hard sometimes. You know, the Romans or the Egyptians are following them. They want them back because they're not going to get any work done without them. So they want them back. What happens? They start grumbling because they're hungry. My vision of that is when if you got little kids and you go on a long car trip, this is how Moses felt with the Egyptians. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I got to go to the bathroom. Are we there yet? On my trips, I heard, are we there yet? And I, my nieces and nephews, when they go on a trip, the youngest two, Carter is 9 and Lily's 5. She'll be 5 here in a couple weeks. And I told them last summer they were going to the beach. It was like a 12-hour drive. I said, Lily, Uncle Matt will pay you $20 if you keep track of how many times you ask Mom, are we there yet? You know how far she kept? 5. And that was before they got to 42 in Williamsport. But that's what the Israelites were doing here. And the Israelites were God's chosen people. Okay? They were grumbling. They didn't know what they were going to do. And God just kept providing miracles. He made it rain manna. He split a sea. And let them cross on dry ground. Think about that for a minute. 4 million people going across a sea with water on both sides, but the ground was dry. You don't think God can handle a problem in your life? You know, it goes on. These guys, these Israelites, they were a strange brood. He gave Moses 10 commandments, right? Moses comes down from the mountain with the 10 commandments. He sees all this junk going on. Worshiping idols. Doing whatever. All kinds of nasty, bad stuff. These people were just delivered by the God. And I don't know how far they were into the trip, but they forgot everything they ever knew. Moses breaks the 10 commandments. Because he was so mad. Moses wasn't perfect either. My point to all these little stories from the Old Testament is God uses ordinary, normal, broken people. And he rewrites their story when they repent and turn to him. Do you think that's different today, what God's asking you to do? That's the amazing thing about this. It's the same 2024 years later as it was the day he was born and even before he was born. He wants us to repent, turn away from our evil ways, and follow him. So when I say rewrite your story, I want you to think about where you're at today as a Christian. And we're all going to be in different places. You know, I had a meeting, we had a meeting this week with some really great people. You know what I came away from that meeting knowing? Those people are following God's will. They don't know what it is yet. We don't know what it is yet. But we're going to follow God's will. And He's going to open doors to get us there. And it's taken me a long time to get there. Because 30 years ago, there's no way. I was just, here's my life, Lord. Take it and use me however you see fit. Nope. I'm going to be a high school gym teacher and coach. Period. End of story. Now I sell Coke. A cola. And I coach. So it's pretty cool. And I teach. You know, am I teaching a bunch of 25 kids in school? No. No. I think I've been called to do something better. I get to teach as a Christian. Get to teach as a Christian. And that's a way better calling than teaching school. Because I'd have beat some kids by now. Yeah. God knows what He's doing. Rewrite your story with God's will at the center of your life. So with that, I'm going to close. Praise team's going to be here. If you don't know what your story is, Les and Jesse and I will be here. And if you don't know what your story is, if you want to know more about how you're going to know your story, we'd love to talk to you. If you've got an issue you can't give up to God, we'd love to talk to you and pray with you. If you've got an issue that's taking over your life that's not Christ-centered, we'd love to pray with you and talk with you. I'm going to close in prayer and then we'll sing the last song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for the stories you've given us and for the plan that you have laid out for each and every one of us here, Lord. We just hope and we pray that you illuminate that plan for each person here. And yes, that plan is going to look different for each person here. Lord, we love you that you know what the final plan is for each person here. Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend. We don't ever understand the full what you want to do with our lives. But just put your hand on us that we keep digging and we keep rewriting our Christian story. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.